I want you to hear the word of the Lord. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You are the body of Christ. And individually, every one of us is a member of it. For the next 3 weeks, I'm going to unpack what I'm calling my piece of the piece, your piece of the piece. We are all individual members of this body. What's my part? What's yours? What's your piece of the piece? Our mission is clear. We are to be a community of people that deliberately lives out the peace of Christ. We are to be a community of people who deliberately live out the peace of Christ. For us in here, vital. It's what the church, it's what Christians have always been about. We've been about peace. In our homes, peace between husband and wife, peace between parents and children. In our church, peace among fellowship. We must be the embodiment of Christ's peace, which is why we do some of what we do, which is why later in October we are going to be doing a blended families conference, because so many of us in our church community are part of blended families. And if we can equip and help blended families realize the peace that Christ has for you, all the better. And if we can open the doors to the community for that as well, all the better. Peace is what designs our fellowship, our DNA. Peace this way because of peace this way. Every week, we remember again that we have peace with God through Christ. And it is that peace with God through Christ that we have that is meant to spill over into our relationships, spill over into our fellowship, spill over into our homes. That's our mission. Peace in here. But not just in here. Sure, we have peace, but it's peace for others as well. And the peace for others is not just to validate our attending here. Boy, we're part of a great movement that has peace. Sorry, you're not. But actually to be a people that live out peace, to be a people that bring peace, to be a people that help others know what that peace is, right here and right now. I often call today's younger generation, not sure if that's the millennials or even younger. It's my daughter's who's 30, so what would that be? Millennials. I call them the James generation of believers. Because the James generation of believers have this as a mantra, whether they know it or not. I will show you my faith by my works. And that's very legitimate. And as a church for the generations, we must be a church that shows the peace of Christ, that demonstrates our faith, not just by what we say, not just by the creeds that we recite. We must demonstrate our faith, especially in the darkness of this world today, by our works, by the things that we do. That's the church. That's its people. That's Trinity. The church has always been called by God to be his instrument of peace in the world. You've been watching the news. You saw the earthquake there in the center of Italy. My relatives, by the way, felt it. 100 or so miles south and 100 or so miles north, they felt it, but fortunately they were not part of that devastation. But now as you listen, I got a social media post from a friend of mine who's a missionary over there. They were just a bit east of that, and so they felt it, but they didn't experience the pain. But what are they doing? They're sending people from their church to that area. Why? Because that's what Christ does. He goes where there's pain and he brings peace. And that's what the church is doing. You've heard it in Louisiana in these days and all of the flooding. And I don't know if you've read all the other statistics that often don't make the news, but the churches have rallied around and the churches have come there to help because that's what the church is. The church is called to be God's instrument of peace in a world full of floods and earthquakes and sin and brokenness. That's what we're called to do. I love this verse. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. That's his prayer for a purpose, so that you may overflow with hope, so that you may overflow. Lord, give me peace, give me joy, indeed. For what purpose? That it may overflow. And when anything overflows, it hits you and at you and you, and that's the church. Filled with joy and peace, but not so they can just have a peace fest or a laugh fest, but that they may overflow. And that overflowing may affect the entire body, and the overflowing of the body may affect the entire world, because the church is called to be God's instrument of peace in the world today. A couple visit Trinity. They visited them not long ago. And as they visited here, they were nervous. They were unsure. First-time visitors. Do you remember what it's like to be a first-time visitor, by the way? Do you remember how uncomfortable that feels? Do you remember how unsure you are? That's a normal feeling. Whenever Sue and I visit churches, I make her uncomfortable because often we go to churches that don't have greeters. So I'm visiting for the first time. I start greeting. Hello, so glad you're here today. They love it. So glad you're at this church today. People love greeting. We've got to get really good at that, by the way. And we are, in some ways. We've got to always get better. Always get better. In every area of life, you always have to get better. So this couple come, and they've got some life issues. And so they're wrestling with, is this going to be our church? We don't really know. And immediately they were greeted by our front door ministry, by our greeters. And they felt welcome, and they felt, wow, this is good. And then they came in here, and they felt the warmth from many of you. Thank you for that. And they felt the authenticity of those leading in worship up here, and the worship, and all of a sudden, yeah, this might be a place where our issues can be dealt with. This might be a place where God exists. This might be a place of peace. That's what the church is. The church is God's instrument of peace to anyone that comes in that door. Anyone. One of the churches Sue and I work with in Italy, part of it is a Filipino fellowship. And the Filipinos there in Italy are an interesting lot because oftentimes they have come to Italy, just a husband and wife, just the wife comes. And the husband is back either working a little bit or freeloading. The wife is in Italy working really, really hard, often as a maid. So often as a maid that now one of the slang words for maid in Italian is Filipina, because so many of them are maids. Anyway, as we were at this church, there were these large group of children watching them. They were singing. They were part of the fellowship. And there was this one really, really timid girl that didn't want to be part of the singing and was sort of on the side. And I know her mother, and I said, how are you here and how is she doing? And she said, well, she still doesn't quite fit in. She's still kind of timid. But we're here because those of this fellowship invited us to come here. And we felt really, really welcome when we came here. And the children's ministry that is here as part of this overall fellowship is a ministry that loves kids. And everywhere you turn, there are teachers that love the kids. And now we're a part of this ministry because someone loved us enough to invite us. And even though there's turmoil back home and we're separated as a family, we have found the peace of Christ right here. A couple weekends ago, one of our go groups here at Trinity, I don't know if you know what a go group is, but it's a group of people that get together on a regular basis, either monthly or every several weeks. They get together over a meal. They have good spiritual conversations. They pray with each other. It's a fellowship indeed. But the word is clear. It's a go group because, well, one of the main reasons for this group is for them to go. And so this group's go schedule that time was to go and deliver a meal to the Fairport football players and cheerleaders. And there they went, and they brought and they served them. And boy, were the coaches glad. They served them, and they brought in the quarterback from Lake Erie College who talked a little bit about the importance of hard work. to the players and the cheerleaders, and the importance of his faith in Christ. The Go group went, and they brought the love of Christ, the peace of Christ, to that football team and to their cheerleaders. And as the Go group came back, the coaches and the staff were just so appreciative because they brought a bit of Christ and somebody cared for them. That's what a church does. The church is God's instrument of peace in the world today. As you know, a couple of times a year at least, I go to India to teach among the leaders of the India ministry that's there. And I'm usually there over a Sunday. Sometimes I preach there and sometimes I don't. It's a very big auditorium. And a couple of times ago, I was there worshiping in the auditorium. And as I'm sitting in my seat here, to my right, sort of in the wing, first several rows, was a group of people I'd never seen before in the church. There were a number of ladies and a bunch of children. So to my friend and my host who's sitting next to me, I said, "Who are those?" And they're singing away about God's love. And he said, "Oh, those are the temple prostitutes and their children. Our church ministry of loving them and serving them, and the global church's ministry, like ours, of supporting their kids, they brought them here. And now they're coming every week. Some have made commitments to Christ. Some are still Hindu. And I'm watching those Hindu temple prostitutes singing about the glories of Christ. I'm thinking, wow, something's going to happen here." That's the church. The church is God's instrument of peace, even for temple prostitutes and their children and throughout the world. Why do we do the Digital Dangers Conference next month? I read an article. Brooklyn, New York, a 13-year-old boy commits suicide. Why does a 13-year-old boy commit suicide? Because the cyberbullying would not stop. It kept coming and coming like a battering ram until he couldn't take it anymore. My friend Don, who's leading the conference, says that now the average age of a child, your child, that gets exposed to internet pornography is 9 years old. Why do we do it? Because as a church, we're called to do it. We are called to be instruments of peace in a world that is broken, that's flooded, that has earthquakes, that sees internet pornography at 9 years old. That's why. That's why you ought to come. And that's why you ought to invite your friends as they come. And they'll come to a place that hears a bit of hope and a bit of peace. And as they come to this place on that weekend, they might think, "Wow, I could come back. Wow, nice chairs." But when they do come back, they do come to a place of peace. On a Sunday, on a regular basis, the church is to be God's instrument of peace, not just by putting on special programs, but by routinely and regularly doing the ministries of the church. Throughout the church, throughout the ages, so that everyone that comes can feel like, "Oh, I'm welcome here. Oh, there's hope here. There's the peace of Christ here." We are to be a place of peace all the time. And all of us are part of that body. Each of us are instruments that God wants to use for Trinity to be the emblem, the instrument of peace in this world. Each one of us. And so three things I want to say this morning. First of all, God has designed each of us with a purpose. The verse before this, you know, is all about salvation by grace through faith. And then, as David said so eloquently in leading us in worship, as we proclaim the glories of Christ by our faith and are related to him by faith, it doesn't stop there. God then calls us onto his mission, and his mission is to be instruments of his peace. For we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Your purpose, the way God wired you, your gifting, is exactly as God has purposed and is exactly for this moment And so that as you allow yourself to be used by God through this church, the church becomes a better place. But your good works all of a sudden become a part of the story of peace in this church. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. I love this phrase, which God prepared beforehand. God already wrote the story of your life. God already wrote the story of how you use your passions and your gifts and your talents for the betterment of the church and of the world. He already wrote it. Now it's up for all of us to say, oh, there's the story. Oh, there, I got to walk into that. Sue and I were part of a funeral yesterday of a dear friend of ours. He was our pastor since we were college students. He's been a friend of mine for years. He was my pastor, and then I became his boss, which was kind of awkward, but it was great. We were colleagues. When we were in college, one year the college group went to this retreat. And so I don't know if it was 100 of us or whatever, we went to this retreat. And several days beforehand, or maybe a week, Wes pointed to me and said, hey, Paul, I want you to teach as part of this retreat. First time ever anybody, I'm a fairly new believer, anybody ever taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, here's a 19, 20-year-old kid going to teach his peers. I want you to teach. Okay, first time ever. This was, 210 years ago, and I still remember it. Why do I remember it? Because as I prepared and as I got up to teach, I thought, this is fun. This could work. And God clearly used that to say, this is what I prepared beforehand for you. This is your calling. This is your gifting. And God has done it for each of us. He has given us purpose. He has designed our skills and our passions and our talents and our gifts in such a way that we use them for his glory and for his purposes, that we should walk in them. Part of our goal today, when we're all done, I'm going to send you out to the tent. Part of it is for you just to look around and say, what are the opportunities here in this church? And maybe I could walk in that, or maybe I could walk in that. And yeah, that seems to fit me. Yeah, maybe it does. I talked with a man just the other day from here. He's been coming for a while, sort of sitting in the back. He's a great guitarist. He said, the Lord has been tugging on my heart. Maybe I should start playing guitar for the worship team here. And he starts talking, and in the middle of our conversation, he doesn't see it, but I'm texting David Erlandson. I got a guy for you to meet. That's our purpose. Serve with the way God has designed us, in a manner that enables the church to be God's instrument of peace, not just in here, but out there, that this is the place functioning so well, because everybody in the body is functioning so well that those that come in say, I need to be a part of that. Boy, am I welcome. And boy, are they a well-oiled machine. That's our purpose. What about our uniqueness? What about our uniqueness? Every one of us is unique. I want to read the first couple of verses of this, because I want you to hear this passage in its context. 1 Peter chapter 4, he says this. Starting in verse 7, he says, and you're going to say amen to this. Just turn on the news and you'll say amen to this. The end of all things is at hand. He thought of it was so back then. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded, for the sake of your prayers. If you're praying about the craziness of this world, and most of us are, but if we're not self-controlled and we're not sober-minded, if we've got cockamamie thoughts and we're just going crazy, our prayers will never be worthwhile prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. If we're going to be a community of peace, it's got to be loving here. Got to be loving here. The old and the young loving each other. the veterans and the newbies loving each other. We've got to be a community of love. And then he says, love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Ah, they're coming over again. And then here's the passage I have here. As each has received a gift, put your name there, as each. As Paul has received a gift, as Tom has received a gift, as Mary has received a gift, use it. Use it. Don't hide it. Use it. It's sort of like, wow, I am good. I stink at that. I'm good at that. The first time Sue and I ever visited the chapel, which is the church we're from originally, we were college students. First time we ever visited, there was this guy, and I grew to love him. Old guy from the church, his name was Chick. And someone decided that Chick should have been a greeter. Chick was the grouchiest man you ever met in the world. You had to hold him hostage to get a bulletin from him. I'm not giving you that. It was crazy. He needs to serve somewhere else. Like maybe lead a support group of Oscar the Grouches, or I don't know. Each one of us is given a gift. Know what it is and know what it isn't. Use it, not for your glory, but to serve one another. As a good steward of God's varied grace. God's varied grace. I love that phrase. God's varied grace. How's come he gets God's varied grace? You just see it over a sea of people like this. God's varied grace. Use it to serve. God's varied grace. And now, two categories. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Some of you have the gift of speaking. Some of you teach our adults. Some of you teach our children. Some of you, your speaking is singing. Thank you for using your voice. Some of you don't have the gift of singing. Thank you for not using your voice. Some speak, and thank you for speaking. And if that's you, I talked to you just the other day, someone from Trinity who's a public school teacher. Says, I think the Lord is tapping me on the shoulder to maybe use my love for teaching into the body of Trinity. I said, indeed. I didn't start texting Tabitha or Alex, but I should have. Some of us, our uniqueness is that we have speaking gifts. Some of us, our uniqueness is we have serving gifts. I've said it before. We have three new deacons we're going to acknowledge tonight and thank them. The deacons do so well in serving behind the scenes. And that's officially and unofficially. In some ways, all of us are called to be deacons in that sense. To deacon just means to serve. And nobody gets the credit, but the job gets done because we're serving the body. And when the body is served, the body is served and becomes the community of peace. And when the community of peace is running well and is healthy, it becomes the emblem of peace, the vehicle of peace that God uses to a community that's filled with earthquakes and floods and brokenness. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through our Lord Jesus Christ. Your uniqueness. God has put you in this body with your gifts, speaking or serving, at this point in time for a particular purpose. Know your uniqueness, know your purpose, and let God use you to serve this body, that it may function well, that it might become a healthy instrument of peace within the body and in the world. And then just to remind you, you're necessary. You are necessary. This isn't Paul's ministry or Ty's or David's or Diane's or anybody's or the elders. This is yours. You are a really necessary part of this church. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Nor again the head to the feet, I don't need you. Every one of us need each other. The eye and the hand are so different. The eye could say to the hand, you're dumb. I have to see things for the body. You just sort of hang there at the end of the arm. And the hand could say to the eye, you're so self-centered. You think it's all about your vision. But unless I grab things for you, you don't see. That can be the church and all of our differences. Years ago, the younger, the teens, and maybe even college age, and the elderly, let's say the 60s, 70s, 80s, we're not getting along well. Let's separate those. No, let's not. And so we started brainstorming, how can the body of Christ work together? And a 17-year-old kid had an idea. He said, you know, my grandma hates her computer because she doesn't understand it. And so I always have to go over there and help her. Light bulb went off. That's a new ministry. We put together a team of techies, of teenage techies, and promoted it in the church. And anybody that remembers when JFK was president and beyond are allowed to contact the techies. And it was a great thing. And now all of a sudden, oh, we really need each other. We really can work together. Yeah, we can. God designed you with a purpose. And God designed you to be very unique. And God tells you you're really, really necessary right here, right here. That Trinity may be the body of Christ, well coordinated, so that she might be God's instrument of peace in here and especially out there, to a world filled with earthquakes and floods and brokenness. Here's our assignment. I'm even letting you out a few minutes early. But as you go out, I want you to go, and I don't want you to go to your car. I want you to go to the tents. And there's donut holes and coffee, no bow and arrows yet. But I want you, we're going to spend a few moments now in quiet prayer. As you go, I want you to reflect. Where can I serve? Where can I be a part of this body? How can I help Trinity be a healthy place that it may be the place of peace in here and especially out there? Would you pray with me, please? In your own heart and in your own quiet right now, I want you to reflect on your own giftings and what God is saying to you, perhaps even right now, regarding your purpose. How did he design you? Regarding you, your uniqueness, do you rather talk or serve? And about your necessity, your importance here. You are a vital part of this body. Father, I pray you'd lead us, even as a church, that you'd lead us to love each other and serve together well. Lord, I pray for each person in this room that they would find joy in their purpose and find a place to serve and be fruitful here in this body. For their own joy, certainly, but for the health of the body and even for the benefit of all. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when you go out there, you're going to see tables for worship ministry and children's ministry and youth ministry, adults and deacons, and I'm missing a bunch, I'm sure. How many tables are there, Ty? 9 tables. You'll see 9. My prayer is that you find something that is really significant for you on those. So that's the application. I'm not even going to benedict. That's the final blessing. I'm just sending you out. Go to the tables. Go to the mattresses. We'll see you.